Welcoming to all of you to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Damodar Anand Prabhuji. Prabhuji is going to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 22nd chapter, 12th verse onwards. And we will read the Vrajmandal Parikrama, 8th and 9th days. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Yes, Mataji, I am here.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavaj Pranam, all goes to Srila Prabhupada, all goes to Guru Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll hand out the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you very much. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Clear. Okay. So I'm really humbled by this opportunity given to me to speak to such an august assembly over the telephone conference call for the United States. I have no qualification, although, to be speaking to many enlightened devotees, but I will make an attempt to share something that I have learned. ग्रंथ राज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय. शिला प्रभुपाद की जय. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. नारायणं नमस्कृत्या नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं उदीरे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नष्टकि कृष्णाया वासुदेवाया देवकी नंदनाया च नंद गोपा कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः. सो टुडे आई बी रिसाइडिंग द श्लोका नंबर 12 फ्रॉम चैप्टर 22 ऑफ 4th कैंट ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम. स्वागतम वो द्विज श्रेष्ठा यद्व्रतानि मुमुक्षवः चरन्ति श्रद्धया धीरा बाला एव बृहन्ति च. स्वागतं वो द्विज श्रेष्ठा यद्व्रतानि मुमुक्षवः चरन्ति श्रद्धया धीरा बाला एव बृहन्ति च. Word by word translation. Suagatam, welcome. Vah, unto you. Dvija Shrestha, the best of the Brahmanas. Yat, whose. Vratani, vows. Mumukshavaha, of persons desiring liberation. Charanti, behave. Shraddaya, with great faith. Dhiraha, controlled. Balaha, boys. Eva, like. Brihanti, observe. Cha, also. Translation. Maharaja Prithu offered his welcome to the four Kumaras, addressing them as the best of the Brahmanas. He welcomed them, saying, from the beginning of your birth, you strictly observed the vows of celibacy, and although you are experienced in the path of liberation, you are keeping yourselves just like small children. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The specific importance of the Kumaras is that they were brahmacharis, leading the life of celibacy from birth. They kept themselves as small children about 4 or 5 years old, because by growing into youth, one's senses sometimes become disturbed and celibacy becomes difficult. The Kumaras therefore purposefully remain children, because in a child's life the senses are never disturbed by sex. This is the significance of the life of the Kumaras. And as such, Maharaja Prithu addressed them as the best of the Brahmanas. Not only were the Kumaras born of the best Brahmana, Lord Brahma, but they are addressed herein as Dvija Shrestha, the best of the Brahmanas. On account of their being Vaishnavas also, as we have already explained, they have their sampradaya, disciplic succession, and even to date, the sampradaya is being maintained and is known as the Nimbarka Sampradaya. Out of the four sampradayas of the Vaishnava Acharyas, the Nimbarka Sampradaya is one. Maharaja Prithu specifically appreciated the position of the Kumaras because they maintained the Brahmacharya vow from the very beginning of their birth. Maharaja Prithu, however, expressed his great appreciation of Vaishnavanism by addressing the Kumaras as Vaishnava Shrestha. In other words, everyone should offer respect to a Vaishnava without considering his source of birth. Vaishnava Jati Buddhi. No one should consider a Vaishnava in terms of birth. The Vaishnava is always the best of the Brahmanas, and as such, one should offer all respects to a Vaishnava, not only as a Brahmana, but as the best of the Brahmanas. Om Agnyantim Randasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this wonderful verse from the wonderful Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam is continuation of the previous verses and is very instructive for us devotees as to how to welcome and receive Vaishnavas into our homes or in a palace like Maharaja Prithu. In the Vedic tradition, a guest is considered as a devata, atithi devo bhava. But in this case, Prithu Maharaj is not receiving some ordinary personalities. He is welcoming four Kumaras. The Kumaras, as we all know, are the first born sons of Brahma. When Brahma was, he is the secondary creator, so then he wanted to populate the planetary systems. He first created four children from his mind. That's why they are called Manas Putras. So the four Kumaras, when they appeared, they were full of intelligence and knowledge. And they recognize as soon as they grow up, they will be overcome by the senses, especially the sexual context of the senses. So they did not want to be entrapped by the senses. So they requested Brahma himself to give them a boon so they always stay in the Kaumarya age, 4 to 5 years of age, eternally. So as Prabhupada is so nicely explaining, the children are never attracted or disturbed. Actually, the word he uses is disturbed by sex. And we all know, who have children and grandchildren of that age, that they're always happy, busy, doing things. and they are not disturbed by sex. So that was the reason the Kumaras stayed in that age. And the four Kumaras are the Sanatana, Sanat, Sanandana, and Sanat Kumara. And the name the Brahma gave to them also very glorious. The Sanatana means eternal, and Sanak is ancient. Sanandana is ever joyous. As you know, children are always joyous. They find happiness in small things. And then Sanat Kumara, that means forever young. So that is the glory of the Sanat Kumaras. And I'm trying to emphasize the glories of the Kumaras so we know who these personalities are and how nicely Prithu Maharaj is welcoming them. So the Sanat Kumaras are the first sons of Brahma, and after they took this vow of staying children forever, actually Brahma got frustrated because he produced them for certain purpose and they did not want to serve that purpose, and they in fact wanted to stay forever young and celibate. So Brahma actually got angry, and because of his anger from in between the eyebrows, as we know from Srimad Bhagavatam, Rudra or Lord Shiva appeared. So actually Kumaras are also elder brothers of Lord Shiva. They are so glorious. And after that, Prabhupada is explaining that we have four major sampradayas in Vaishnava tradition. Nimbarka sampradaya is one of them. We belong to Brahma, Madhava, Gaudiya sampradaya. Then we have a Shri sampradaya. And then we have Rudra sampradaya. So Rudra sampradaya comes from Lord Shiva, Shri from Mother Lakshmi. Nimbarka comes from the four Kumaras. And of course, Brahma, Madhava, Gaudiya sampradaya comes directly from Brahma. And the origin of all is Shri Krishna. But do we know that there is one guru in all these four sampradayas that's common to all of us? Yes. And that is none other than Narada. So even in the Nimbarka sampradaya, Narada took his initiation. He's also a son of Brahma and he's younger to the four Kumaras. He came much later. But he is a common guru in all the four sampradayas. So even in the Nimbarka sampradaya, Narad Muni is in the disciplic succession. So Nimbarka sampradaya also is very active. And if you go to Barsana, Radharani's place, you will find them there. And about 2 kilometers from the Govardhan Hill is their main matha. And the Nimbarka sampradaya, unlike Shri sampradaya who worship Mother Lakshmi, they also worship Radha and Krishna, just like Gaudiya sampradaya. And their mantra is 18 syllable, ours is 16. And they recite Shri Radha Braja Biharane Namaha. And you will hear this shloka when you go to Barsana, because many of the devotees visit there very frequently. And their guru, the main guru is Nimbarka. Nimbarka is made of two words, Neem and Arakha. The Neem is the Neem tree, just like we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu named as Nimaya Pandit, because he was born under a Neem tree. And Arakha means the sun. So there is a story why he was named as Nimbarka. And he also gave the philosophy or ideology from the scriptures of Dvaita Advaita. which is dualistic non-dualism. So just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us achintya bheda bheda, being different but same, which is inconceivable at the same time. So they have a similar philosophy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refined it and gave it us in a very simplified form and with a lot of explanations. So Prabhupada mentioned that we should all be respectful to all the Vaishnavas belonging to all the sampradayas. So so Maharaja Prithu here is welcoming the four Kumaras. And so we can understand. And in the Vedic tradition, and as Prabhupada explained in the previous verse, and he might explain in the next verse too, how to receive somebody. Usually the reception given is according to the status of the person coming. Even in India till now, you can visit any place and just appear unannounced, unlike in any other societies where you have to take an appointment and come. So these great personalities will just show up. And one had to be knowledgeable about their glory to welcome them in a proper way. So it was a tradition that when somebody comes and Prabhupada says how to welcome them, how to offer them a seat, you know, most of the time the kings will get up from their throne and actually offer their own seat to these glorious personalities. And second thing they will do is they will glorify them. Like here, Prithu Maharaj is glorifying the four Kumaras by speaking their qualities and their actions. So actually, Kirti means to glorify, and Kirti also comes from Krita or actions. So it's not how one looks or how one dresses. It's actually what one has done and accomplished is a proper praise. It should not be a false praise. It should be a true praise, and it should be what one has done or accomplished. And I remember from Valmiki Ramayana, when Rishi Vishwamitra comes to the assembly of Dasharath Maharaj, Dasharath Maharaj welcomes him and he says so many nice things about him. A couple of things I remember, he says that you're coming to this kingdom is like if there has been no rain for 12 years in a place, and suddenly the rain clouds appear in the sky and rain starts to fall. Or somebody who's lost in a desert and has nothing to eat or drink for many days, a habitation. So he describes in a very nice way the joy he felt when he visited his palace. So similarly, you know, this the Vedic tradition that you not only welcome them, offer a seat, offer them water or some drink or food, you also glorify them. And this is what exactly Prithu Maharaj is doing, and that's instructive for us. And the other thing I wanted to mention is that there's a term used as Brahmanas and Vaishnavas by Srila Prabhupada here. Brahmanas, as we know, most of the time it is taken as by birth. When you're born in a Brahmana family, you become a Brahmana, but Prabhupada said that is actually a Dvija Bandhu. You're actually a relative of a Brahmana. You're not a Brahmana till you qualify, till you acquire knowledge and follow those principles. And Vaishnava actually is, okay, then there is a term called Pandita. Pandita is actually somebody who is knowledgeable, who's acquired the knowledge of scripture. He may or may not actually follow those instructions from the scriptures in his or her life. And then Vaishnava actually is considered superior to all these two, because Vaishnava is the one who lives his life by the Vaishnava principles. And what are those principles? The major two principles is that a Vaishnava serves without and respects everybody without expecting any respect. Amanina manavena. And also feels the pain of other people. Par dukkha, dukkha. And we have heard many stories, especially of Ajamila. He was a Brahmana, born in a Brahmana family, and he was following the routines of Brahmanas, doing various yagnas and all, but he fell down. Then there are other stories. There is a story of Dhundukari. It's a very interesting story. It's not very often repeated. But a Vaishnava, and the reason given is why they fell down, because they were Brahmana, they were following the routines, the procedures, but they were not Vaishnava. They had not taken shelter of the Harinam. And so they, and then the example is given of Vaishnava is Srila Haridas Thakur, and even Prabhupada is saying here that it should not be by birth. One should offer respect to a Vaishnava without considering his source of birth. So Srila Haridas Thakur is the best example. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took him as his topmost devotee. And he was born in a Muslim family. So that's the other glorious thing about Vaishnavism, that you do not discriminate. The talk of non-discrimination, equal opportunity, and all these things that we hear actually is very old. Coming from the Vaishnava Sampradaya. Once you take the shelter of a guru and Harinam, you qualify to be treated equally, and we should treat everybody equally. The reason we study scriptures, and Prabhupada said we should be reading Srimad Bhagavatam every day in the morning, and we should read Bhagavad Gita in the evening. And we all know the reason for that is bhakti has three limbs. One is faith, shraddha. That's where it starts. And the other two are knowledge or jnana. And the third is vairagya. The vairagya is actually a byproduct. So to have true knowledge is very important for bhakti, because as Prabhupada warns us in almost every chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, that we have to be very careful of the sampradaya and the disciplic succession we choose. It should be bona fide, because false knowledge can send us to the lowest planets, as you know from Shirish Upanishad. So true knowledge comes from scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. And as we get true knowledge, our shraddha or our faith increases exponentially, and our faith in chanting increases exponentially. The human society, as we know from the books read in schools, went through, you know, various developments from Stone Age to Iron Age to Bronze Age, Industrial Revolution, and now we are in the Information Age or Age of Information. But they say the highest age will be the Age of Knowledge. But when they talk of the age of knowledge, there will be more age of knowledge, of material knowledge. But the true age of knowledge, which our scriptures are telling from time immemorial, is the spiritual knowledge, that is the true knowledge. And that age of knowledge is ever existing in the Vedic society. So with that, I would like to conclude today's talk. Thank you very much for listening and giving me this opportunity. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you very, very much. The class was really, really excellent. thank you so much for such a wonderful session. I don't have any questions, but I just wanted to appreciate how beautifully you covered the purport and the content. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for a very wonderful class, Prabhu, a very valuable point. Please, if anybody have any questions or realization, please go ahead.
I would appreciate it. Anybody has any correction? Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Dhanvat Pranam. Very nice class. And I was sometimes thinking that why you should give a class. You have so much knowledge. So thank you very much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Mataji, thank you for your appreciation. It's because of my material life. I'm a physician. I know many other physicians also come and speak on the forum. But I'm an interventional radiologist. So my job, obligations are such that I cannot devote much time. Most of the time I listen to this Bhakti Japa conference on my way in my car to the hospital. So for that reason, I'm not able to sometimes even join the conference. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you very much for your wonderful class. We have listened to your comments often, but this is the first time I heard your lecture. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Radha Damodar, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranama, Augusta, Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very beautiful Prabhuji, class Prabhuji, and you very nicely explained everything about the shloka. So thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for taking up the service.
Hare Krishna, Shyamaguri Mataji, thank you. You are my ideal. You are an exemplary Vaishnava for conducting this for so long, you know, selflessly serving me and so many Vaishnavas. My humble obeisances to you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for class. I just have a couple of questions just to ask for repetition, actually. You gave the translation for the names of the four Kumaras. Would you mind repeating those definitions of their names?
Yes, Mataji, thank you for asking. Actually, in Vedic tradition, the names have very profound meanings behind them. Even when we name our children in today's age, we should choose the names which have very nice meanings. So the four Kumaras also have their names. So one is the Sanatana. Sanatana, as you know from Sanatana Dharma, is eternal. Then we have Sanaka. Sanaka means ancient. And then we have Sanandana. Nandan, as you know, is joyous. So Sanandana is full of joy. And then we have Sanat Kumara. Kumara means Kumaria or young. And Sanat is eternal. So eternally young. That is the meaning of Sanat Kumar.
Yeah, like, so this is what I was asking, because the two of the Kumaras, they sound very similar, Sanatana and Sanat Kumara.
Yeah.
I mean, is there any difference at all between their names?
Not really. They're just two different terms for the same. The only difference is in Sanatana, there is no end and no beginning. And Sanag is that who's coming from the very beginning. The end is not included in that. So there is little difference, but not much difference.
Okay, so the one where, you know, is referring to like just no beginning, his name, it ends with the letter K?
No, Sanatana, just like the Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana Dharma is ever-existing and will exist.
Right, but the other one, how do you spell the other one? Does that one end with a K?
Yeah.
Okay. No beginning. And that one is no beginning and no end. Okay. And also, No. There's something that's not clear for me. Okay, so there's Sanatana, which means no beginning, no end. And then there's Seneca, which means ancient, right?
Right.
So that's the one that has a K in it. The one that means eternally young, you know, just no beginning. How do you spell that one?
That is actually Sanat Kumara. Sanatana Kumara. Yes. It has two words in his name.
Seneca to Kumara. Seneca.
Seneca. Yeah.
Seneca Kumara. But, so, I mean, don't all of them use Kumara? No?
They're collectively known as Kumaras.
Right.
Yeah, but they don't use Kumara in the other three's name. They use Kumara only in the fourth one's name.
And
when we collectively call them, we call it Sanat Kumara, so they become plural, but yeah, that's how it is.
Okay, so I know it's a little difficult by phone, but so let me just repeat. Sanatana, there's Sanatana, then there is Seneca, which means ancient, right?
Right.
And that one has a K in his name, right?
Correct.
And then there is Sanandana, that's joyous.
Right.
And then there is Sanat Kumara, which we already said means eternal. Now, Sanat Kumara, in the first part of his name, is it a K or a T?
It's a T, as in toy. Yes, T.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now I understand. Thank you so much for bearing with me with that.
You're welcome. I appreciate you always clear your doubts. It's very nice.
My nature is I have no choice. And there was one other thing also. You said that the Nimbarka, so the neem part refers to the neem tree, and the arka part refers to the sun.
Yes.
So I'm just trying to get the meaning of when you put these two together, like Nimbarka Sampradaya, you know, neem tree and sun, you know, I'm just trying to get like some kind of.
So Mataji, Nimbarka actually is the, like we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so Nimbarka is a personality. His name was Nimbarka.
And yeah.
Neem of Nimbarka is a combination of neem and arka. Arka means sun. And there is a story behind it.
Oh, wait a minute. So,
story. Yeah.
Wait. So, when you said son, I thought that you were referring to like the sun in the sky, but you're referring to S-O-N.
No. S-U-N, sun in the sky. That is.
So now you bring in this word, the avatar. So, I'm not clear.
Yes, we'll talk about it some other time, Mataji, because of the time constraint.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Ah, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Prabhu. This is Suresh Varsham from Charlotte, Prabhu. Prabhu, we have... One question, Prabhu. Is that okay, Prabhu?
Yes.
Yeah, Prabhuji, in the same chapter, in ninth verse, it is saying that, in the ninth verse, it is said that even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva cannot understand the super soul.
Right.
So now we see, right, Prabhu, Lord Brahma's son, like Narada, the Kumara, they are very exalted and we got the knowledge from Lord Brahma.
Right.
So how do we understand this contradiction, Prabhu? Now here it says even Lord Brahma don't understand, but we received all the knowledge through Brahma. So I'm a little bit trying to understand, Prabhuji. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a super excellent question, Prabhuji. And you will see that many times. I don't have to go very far. Even my son, he has more knowledge than me. So it's not a rule that a father will know more than a son. The sons can know more than the father. And we understand that Brahma, sometimes we might have knowledge, but we may not have understanding. The example I can give you is that Brahma got all the knowledge. He got the knowledge of the Vedas from Krishna himself when he was on the lotus emanating from the umbilicus of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. He got the knowledge, but understanding is a different thing. So, as you know, from the 10th canto, the Brahma came and he saw Krishna in Vrindavana, and then he stole all the gopas and the cows for 1 year. That is a very silly thing to do, if I'm not offending Brahma, to do. Because Krishna, you might know Krishna, but he may not reveal it to you completely. So that happens. And the same many examples are given for Shiva. The best example that comes to my mind is Shukdev Goswami. Do we know who he was son of? He was son of Ved Vyas, right? So Ved Vyas is the one who wrote the Vedas. But it is said that Shukdev Goswami actually was more exalted than even Ved Vyas. So there is a very nice anecdote that as soon as Shukdev Goswami was born, he starts to proceed towards the bank of Ganges to give the Bhagavatam knowledge to Parikshit Maharaj. And as he was walking by, you all must have heard the story, there was a pond in which some ladies were having a bath. And so Shukdev Goswami was such absorbed always in Krishna that he doesn't notice anything that's surrounding. So he's just walking. So these ladies, they continue to have the bath. They don't cover themselves. So Ved Vyas was following Shukdev Goswami. As soon as he comes near the pond, all the ladies cover themselves up. So here is an example of a father and a son is more advanced than a very advanced father. So, Prabhuji, that's a very nice question, but it's not always true that, you know, like Prabhupada is our spiritual father. He gives knowledge to all of us, but we are not always at the same level. Some people may be more understanding of their knowledge than many of us. I hope that answers your question, Prabhuji.
Yes, Prabhuji. Yeah. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Can I just follow up on that question?
Okay, Badaji, this will be the last question then, because I have to leave for the hospital after that.
Okay, so very quickly, you know, my understanding is that Lord Brahma doesn't really know Krishna in the same way, that same intimate level that the residents of Vrindavan know Krishna. That level of intimacy is not there for him. You know, he can know Krishna in the sense of, you know, his position as God, you know, that awe and reverence, but not that level, you know, like Rajendra Nandana Krishna. That Krishna, I think, he you cannot know just by, you know, knowledge. It is a different level of understanding. I think that's my understanding, you know, of the difference.
Yes, Mataji, your question is actually at a very, very high level. When we talk about the Brajvasis, it is a totally different dimension. They actually did not know who Krishna is in the real sense of, you know, the knowledge. They did not study scriptures. Yashoda Maiya thought Krishna was a small baby, although he tried to show her the whole universe, including her and himself in his mouth. Still, Mother Yashoda considered him as a, you know, very vulnerable small baby. Even the gopis did not consider Krishna to be the supreme personality, you know, Godhead. Their relationship or understanding of Krishna is of love, of prema bhava. That exceeds all knowledge, all understanding of any other kind. So that is the position of the Brajvasis. They don't have to study scriptures, they don't have to get knowledge from any type of succession. They are in prema bhava. That's how it is, Mataji. So your question is way high. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, brother. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Swami. Yes.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you very much for your valuable time and appreciation, Prabhuji. And please give us classes more often, because everybody likes your classes, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Okay, Vardhan Mahamataji, go ahead.
Yes, Mataji.
Yeah, okay. Should I start, Mataji?
Yeah, sure, Mataji.
Okay. Thank you very much, everyone. And for listening patiently for me, please bless me so I can read properly. So I will pay obeisances to all the Vaishnavas, Vancha Kalpataru Bhesha, Krupasindu Bhavacha, Titanam Pavane Bhyo, Vaishnavi Bhyo, Namanama, Anand Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Chai, Sri Dham Vrindavan Ki Chai. So we will start today. Today is the 8th day of Parikrama, and 8th day is the Bahulashtami. So Bahulashtami is the appearance day of Radha Kunda. And so I will start we will start the parikrama from Radha Kunda today. Yatha Radha Priya Vishnu Tasya Kundam Priyam Tatha Sarva Gopish Seveka Vishnur Tyakno Vallabha. Just as Srimati Radharani is most dear to Lord Krishna, so her lake known as Radha Kunda is also very dear to him. Of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most beloved. Longing to meet but forced to remain separate, Radha and Krishna assume the forms of Radha Kunda and Shyam Kunda. In this way, they became splashed with the nectar of meeting each other. Radha and Krishna are one soul in two forms, and that Kunda is as dear as dear to Krishna as Radharani. Those who have transcendental eyes can see Radha Kunda as the scriptures describe it, with jewel steps leading down to the water, overhung with fruit.
Krishna.
Yeah,
we cannot hear.
Sorry, Mataji, I got cut off. So, with so their jewel step leading down to the water, overhung with fruit laden trees and air fragrant with flowers, and edged by gardens. In this Govinda Lila, in his Govinda Lilamrita, Krishnadat Kaviraj Goswami revealed that Radha Kunda is surrounded in the eight directions by the eight kunjas of Srimati Radharani's principal sakis. The natural beauty of these kunjas lies beyond any mundane experience of beauty we may have had in this world. Likewise, Shyama Kunda is surrounded by the kunjas of Krishna's eight principal friends or his priya sakas, each of who's submitted for his kunja to different gopis to manage. The Radha Kunda and its surrounding area is sense of many wonderful pastimes of divine couple in the Madhyanna portion of their eternal eightfold daily pastime. This period lasts from 10:48 a.m. to 3:36 p.m. and the pastimes include quarreling over picking flowers, stealing Krishna's food, water sports, swing festival, and playing dice. Next come Kundeshwar Mahadev. As we enter the Kunda area from the southern side, we pass Radha Gokulananda temple. We began our parikrama by offering our obeisances to Kundeshwar Mahadev, one of the four Shiva deities who protect Radha Kunda from coming of unqualified persons. Radha Krishna Temple, Radha Kunda is Kunda's bank are decorated with many temples just down the road. And then down a small alley to the left stands a Radha Krishna temple, home to presiding deities of deities of Radha Kunda. These deities are discovered by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami while he was overseeing the excavation of Radha Kunda, Gopal Manipur Mandir. We then proceed to Gopal Manipur Temple, not far from junction between Radha Kunda and Govardhan Parikrama. Turning right and continue down the road, we arrive at Gopinath Temple and Samadhi of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. When Raghunath Das Goswami entered the Lord's eternal pastimes, his mortal remain were placed in Samadhi at Shyamakunda. There is always kirtan going on day and night. The sweet sound of the holy names saturates the already spiritually resplendent atmosphere. Raghunath Das Goswami is an intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya in Gauralila. And Radha Krishna's pastime, he is Rati Manjiri, a dear assistant of Srimati Radharani. Having renounced household life while still in young age, he spent 16 years intimately serving Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri. When Mahaprabhu completed his manifest pastime in this world, Raghunath Das afflicted in intense separation, came to Vrindavan and decided to end his life by jumping from the top of Govardhan Hill. Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami stopped him doing so. He came to life as a simple mendicant on the bank of Shyamakunda. While living here, he would speak for 3 hours daily about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Raghunath Das Goswami's monumental devotional efforts are renowned through the Vaishnava world, and it's only by his pure desire that we now visit Radha Kunda. His wish to enlarge the Kundas was so strong that till Lord Krishna personally appeared in the dream of a rich man in Badrikashram and directed him to donate money to Raghunath Das Goswami. On hearing this pilgrim's account, the Goswami was filled with happiness. With great joy, he used the money to spend to build the 2 kundas. Raghunath Das Goswami spent 40 years performing bhajan here. He remained absorbed in feeling of separation. It's said that his observance of devotional principle was as rigid as lines in stone. Sri Raghunath Das Goswami daily bhajan included chanting 64 rounds of japa, 100,000 holy names, doing Manasi Seva in his spiritual body, worshipping Govardhan Shila, bathing thrice in Radha Kunda, offering 1,000 obeisances to Krishna and offering 2,000 obeisances to Vaishnava, and then embracing them. He rested only 90 minutes a day. And sometimes he will not even do that. Keep in mind, however, that when an eternal associate of Lord appears to rest eternally, he continued his service. He ate only 1 leaf cup of buttermilk every day. Raghunath Das Goswami's mercy flow abundantly in this place. He is our Prayojana Guru. We can't think about Radha Kunda without remembering Raghunath Das Goswami. Next is Janama Mata Baitak. We we exit the temple through the door to our left and come out on northern bank of Radhakunda to a small platform which is the sitting place of Janava Mata. Following the departure of Lord Chaitanya and his close associates, so Janava Mata, Lord Nityananda's eternal consort, became a powerful preacher. Although she was a woman, she was as respected as any other senior Vaishnava Acharya in our line, and she organized devotional activities of many Vaishnavas. Her visit to Radhakunda is described in Bhakti Ratnakar. It is at her baithak beneath Tamala tree that Janava Mata was blessed with the transcendental vision of Gopinath, accompanied by Radharani and the gopis. The Radha Gopinath deities were installed after this incident. Gopika reveals that in Krishna Leela, Janava Mata is Ananga Manjiri, Srimati Radharani's younger sister. There is a description of Radha Kunda that tells us that there is an island in the middle of Kunda. Placed over the waters in middle of Radha Kunda is a wonderful jewel palace where Ananga Manjiri with great love serves the divine couple. Without love and devotion, no one is able to know about this place. A few steps lead to into Janava Mata's private bathing place in Radha Kunda, built for her by her followers. We go back to back along the steps of Radha Kunda towards Raghunadas Goswami Samadhi, and when we reach the corner of Kunda, we return right and walk towards Sangam of Kunda and Radha Kunda and Shyam Kunda. When we come to very narrow passage on our left, barely wide enough to walk one person, so we enter on that place. To our left stand the Bhajan Kutir of Srila Gopal Bhatt Goswami. As a child, Gopal Bhatt had the wonderful opportunity to serve Lord Chaitanya directly when the Lord was in his home in Sri Rangam for the 4 months of Chaturmasa. The Lord blessed the child to go to Vrindavan after his parents' physical departure. After studying under Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, he eventually came to Vrindavan and was welcomed with great love and by Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. A few more steps bring us to three Goswami Samadhi, the most secret resting place of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami and Raghunath Bhatt Goswami. These three Goswamis passed away on the same day in different years. We circumambulated Samadhi reverential and offering our obeisances, praying sincerely to follow in the footsteps of these Acharya and to become absorbed in their writings. We walked to Shyamakunda and stopped for some time at Manasa Pavan Ghat. On the northern bank of Subala Kunda, named Subala Kunda. Shubhalananda. This kunja is was accepted by Radha and is known as Manasa Pavan Ghat. She Radha always eagerly bathed there with her girlfriends. For this water consistence of honey flowing from Krishna's lotus feet. Therefore, this water is as dear to her as Krishna himself. The five Pandavas absorbed in the beauty of Radha Kunda and Shyama Kunda. Shyama Kunda has an irregular shape because when it was being due, Raghunath Das Goswami dreamed of Maharaj Yudhishthira, who revealed that he and his brothers were living there as fire trees. He asked Raghunath Das Goswami not to cut them down. These fire trees are no longer there now. Along where we stand is a bhajan kutir of Raghunath Das Goswami. As we rise from offering our obeisances, we see the colorful mural which carefully captured every daily of detail of the devotion. The Raghunath Das Goswami was satisfied simply with chanting and meditating on the bank of the Kunda. One day when Goswami was deeply absorbed in trance, tiger and tigress came to water to quench their thirst. Raghunath Das Goswami was unaware of what was happening around him. So absorbed in samadhi he was. So just to protect his devotees, Krishna personally appeared and kept an eye on the animals while they was drinking water. Sanatan Goswami arrived at that time moment and witnessed the scene. Krishna smiled at him, and when the tiger left, the Lord disappeared too. Sanatan then tried to convince Raghunath Das to build himself a shelter so the Lord wouldn't have to worry about him. On other occasion, while Raghunath Das Goswami sat in deep meditation under the midday sun, Srimati Radharani appeared behind him to shade him for the scorching sun and with her own cloth. She herself was drenched in perspiration. Again, Sanatan Goswami witnessed the scene. After some time, Srimati Radharani smiled at Sanatan and left. This time, Sanatan Goswami Goswami admonished his exalted friend for inconveniencing Lord's concert and again demanded he build a kutir. Raghunath Das Goswami agreed, and from then onwards he performed his bhajan in this place. On the left of the kutir, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur will do bhajan here approximately century and a half after Raghunath Das Goswami. As we head in direction of Parikrama path around Kunda and Radha Kunda and Shyama Kunda, we stop at the Gauragadadhar temple and at Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami's bhajan kutir, which is right next to it. Lord Nityananda instructed Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami in a dream to leave his home in Bengal and go to Vrindavan. Although he was already quite old, he followed the Lord's instruction and lived next to Raghunath Das Goswami on the bank of Radhakunda, taking full shelter of him. So there is a bhajan kutir of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami right next to Raghunath Das Goswami's kutir. Inspired by the talks and diary of Raghunath Das Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami spent his final days here writing the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this most special gem among Vaishnava literature. He also compiled the Govinda Leelamrita in this place. When Srila Srila Raghav Pandit, Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas Acharya came here during their parikrama of Praja, they met with Raghunath Das Goswami and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. We go around the corner and squeeze our way into the entrance of temple with where Giriraja's tongue is worshipped. Raghunath Das Goswami didn't want people to use the secret Radha Kunda water for their daily requirements. So he decided to have a separate well dug to provide for them. While digging, the worker struck a stone that began to bleed. Raghunath Das Goswami immediately stopped digging. And that night, Giriraj appeared to him in a dream and informed him that the stone was his tongue, and that it should be installed in a temple and worshipped. We offer prayers to this Govardhan Shila, which is still marked with specks of blood. Next, we go to temple of Sri Radha Govinda Dev. Just like the deities in Vrindavan, their worships are Srila, worshippers are Srila Nrupa Goswami's Pratibha deities. In the late 17th century, when Aurangzeb ordered that all Goswami temples be dismantled, the devotees in Vraja tried to save the various deities by moving them to Jaipur. On their way to Jaipur, the three principal deities of Gaudiya Vaishnava stopped at Radha Kunda and Kamyavan. Pratibha deity is considered as good as the original ones. Were installed in their original temple in Vrindavan, as we see in Radha Kunda and Kamyavan. The other two deities named Sri Radha Madan Mohan and Sri Radha Gopinath also have their Pratibha form at Radha Kunda. Sri Radha Madan Mohan are on the southern bank of Shyamkunda, a few meters away from Sangam of Sri, and Sri Radha Gopinath are further down the same path close to Nityananda Baithak. A road to the left leads off the parikrama path to Bhakti Vinod Thakur's Bhajan Kutir. We stop there to relish meditative thoughts and melodious kirtan. Bhakti Vinod Thakur predicted that one day all the people of the world would come would chant Lord Chaitanya's glory. It was his foremost desire to see the best embrace Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada has since brought an array of colorful elements to chant. Jai Sachinandana Gaura Hari. Radha Radha Kunda is one sense in cradle of ISKCON because it is on the bank of Radha Kunda. Next comes the Jagannath temple. We return to Parikrama route and a little way around the path on our left, we take darshan of Lord Jagannath, Lady Subhadra and Lord Balaram. Every year during Ratha Yatra, their worship Lord Shiva are parade around the Parikrama Marg on handful cart. A short distance ahead and our right is the entrance of Srila Jiva Goswami's Bhajan Kutir. Jiva Goswami, son of Rupa Goswami's younger brother Anu, was the youngest of six Goswamis. He spent much time assisting Raghunath Das Goswami in the excavation and management of Kundas. After the departure of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, he became the Acharya of the Vaishnavas. Inside the Kutir, we find the cast of Lord Chaitanya's large footprints which were brought here from Jagannath Puri. There is also a small Radha Damodar temple here. Directly across the road from Jiva Goswami's Bhajan Kruti is Lalita Kunda and the Lalita Mohan temple. The Raja Bhakti Vilas mentioned that Lalita Devi used water from Radha Kunda and Shyam Kunda to make her own Kunda. The Parikrama path then takes us to eastern tip of Shyam Kunda where the tongue of Govardhan was found. This place is called Gopi Kunda. Kupa means well. Gopi Kupa. Kupa means well. On the other side of the road, down a narrow path is the place where Srila Madhavendra Puri sat while doing Govardhan Parikrama. A small monument marks this exalted personality sitting place. Madhavendra Puri took sannyas from the Dhamma Madhva Sampradaya. He set the ends and mood for the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who took initiation from Madhavendra Puri's disciple Srila Ishwara Puri. We return to the Parikrama path and walk the time before coming to Tamala Tala. The Tamala tree on the bank of Shyamakunda, under which Lord Chaitanya sat after discovering Radha Kunda and Shyamakunda. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur installed a set of marble footprints of Lord Chaitanya here. Until Lord Chaitanya visited Vrindavan, these most secret lakes remained concealed. They seem to be only two ponds in middle of two different paddy fields. At that time, the village of Radha Kunda was born as Arishtagram or Arishtagram. Because this was where Krishna had killed Arishtasura. When the Lord arrived here and inquired about the whereabouts of Radha Kunda, no one could direct him. We go past the Madan Mohan temple, which houses the Pratibha Deities of Sanatan Goswami's beloved Radha Madan Mohan. walk about 30 meters to Radha Gopina temple. There we take darshan of Sri Madhupandit's deities as mentioned above. Their lordship are Pratibhati. In this compound, we also visit Lord Nityananda's sitting place. Like Lord Balaram, he toured all the holy Tirtha of India and finally arrived in Vrindavan. It was at this point that he understood Lord Chaitanya had begun the Sankirtan movement and he went straight to Nadi. The rest of our day is spent and spent resting. A few of devotees decided to go to festival of Bahulashtami. So we will end our 8-day here. The delightful forest of Vrindavan, beautiful Govardhan Hill, and the nectarine area of Tulasidas, what to speak of other places are not equal to even a single particle of Radha Kunda and Shyam Kunda. Let me take shelter of these two lakes, which are more dear to Lord Krishna than his own life's breath. So we will end the day of 8th day, and next we go to Radha, from Radha Kunda to Tik. Each of us leave Radha Kunda, we have fairly good indication to whether we have managed to adapt to the Parikrama lifestyle. So while walking, first come is the Chakratirtha and Chakreshwar Mahadev. Where at entrance we turn right and walk a short distance before turning left towards the area known as Chakratirtha. Chakratirtha is one of the north bank of Manasi Ganga. When Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, his Sudarshan Chakra hung above Giriraj, evaporating the tolerant rains by spinning and generating tremendous heat. Sudarshan served his lord like this for the entire 7 days of the pastime. After Krishna replaced Govardhan Hill, Sudarshan begged the Lord's permission to remain in this place. Here we find the temple of Chakreshwar Mahadev, who is one of the four Kshetrapalas of Brajamandal. Next to Chakreshwar Mahadev temple is the Bhajan Kutir of Srila Sanatan Goswami. From his residence here, the elderly saint would daily perform the 24-mile Govardhan Parikrama. While he walked, he repeatedly offered obeisances to Govardhan as well as to any devotee he met along the way. One day, when Sanatan Goswami was already quite old, the Lord appeared before him in a guise of cowherd boy and a sweet exchange took place. Sanatan Goswami, with tears in his eyes, tried to conceal his fatigue condition from the boy. Gopinath spoke sweetly to Sanatan. In this old age, you should not take so much trouble. Dear Swamiji, please follow my advice. Sanatan Goswami replied, whatever you say, I will certainly follow. Then the cowherd boy climbed Govardhan Hill and brought a shila marked with his own footprint. In sweet words, he requested Sanatan Goswami to accept this Govardhan Shila marked with footprint of Lord Krishna. From today, just circumambulate this Shila and your vow of daily parikrama will be fulfilled. Saying this, he gave the Shila to Sanatan Goswami at this cottage and disappeared. This Shila is still worshipped at Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan. On another occasion, Sanatan Goswami, after some contemplation, decided to leave his bhajan kutir because there were too many mosquitoes. And at that moment, Chakreshwar Mahadev appeared in his guise of Brahmana and begged him not to go. He promised to clear area mosquitoes from there. So local residents claim that to this day the area is relatively mosquito free. Leaving Chakratirtha, we follow the path to the street of Parikrama Marg on the other side of Govardhan Hill near Sakhisthali village. As we walk, sometimes turn around to see Govardhan Hill disappearing into the distance. It's quite spectacular, even mystical sight. Govardhan spread horizontally from miles and appear to have a blushy view to the trees that grow on the his top and sides. Gopala's ancient temple at the top carries one thought to the devotional incident that bow the paths of Govardhan Hill with remembrance of Krishna. After walking to about 3 kilometers, we enter Ganthuli Gram. Ganthuli means knot, Gantha means knot, and the Bhakti Ratnakar says that once while celebrating Holi here, the Sakhis secretly tied Krishna's cloth to Radharani's cloth, and as they sat on their simhasan, at one point the divine couple stood up and realized their cloth had been tied just like a married couple. They became embraced and all the Sakhis laughed and clapped in great fun. After they had thrown colors at each other, their cloth was untied again. Gulala Kunda, which is located just before the entrance of Ganthuli Gram, was given this name because its waters turned pink from the colors being thrown around during Holi. The pink powder is called lard. So much powder was thrown into the air that it appeared like a pink cloud. As it settled in coached everything, the trees were pink, the birds pink, and the water of Kunda and people's faces and clothes all became pink. So Gulala Kunda has borne this name since Krishna was there performing his pastime, and in the spring Holi festival is still held there. Ganthuli Gram is famous for another beautiful pastime. During the night, Lord Chaitanya stayed at the Haridev temple. He wondered how to see the Gopaladiti, who lived on top of Govardhan Hill. Being in the mood of devotee, Mahaprabhu refused to climb Govardhan Hill, which is not different from Krishna. Gopala, however, understood Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart and played a trick so he could grant his darshan to the Lord. By his arrangement, a rumor spread that the Turkish soldiers were preparing to attack the village where he was living. When the villagers heard this, they moved Gopala to Gantuli Gram, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was able to see him. The news eventually reached to Lord Chaitanya that Gopala had moved, so he came here to take darshan of deities. Beholding the beautiful form of Gopala, Mahaprabhu became completely overwhelmed by ecstatic love and recited the following verse: Vamastam Rasakshasya Bhuja Dandana Patuva Krida Kantu Katam Yena Nita Govardhana Giri. May the left arm of Krishna, whose eyes are like a petals of lotus flower, always protect you with his left arm and rise Govardhan Hill as if it were a toy. Then he began to chant and dance and did not stop until the end of the day. Who can understand the ecstasy of emotion of flooded his heart when the dance when he danced in Gopala's pleasure? The Lord took darshan of the deity here for 3 days. On the fourth day, Gopala returned to his temple on a top of Govardhan Hill. This was the only time Gopala left the hilltop temple to give his darshan to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Chaitanya Charitamrita says from time to time he would use the same pretext to remote attack by the Muslims. Due to fear of Muslims, the Gopala deity was moved from one place to another place again and again. Thus giving up his temple, Lord Gopala would sometimes live in a bush and sometimes in one village after another. Our walk to Dik long about 19 kilometers, but there are no thorns, sands or pebbles. Rather, we walk the road on the sand. One devotee thinks that the roads are not good for walking. The sand is so soft and we can walk on it. Ahead on the Govardhan to Dik road is Bahaj, formerly known as Raheja. Here a remorseful fool Indra approached Krishna accompanied by Surabhi. This is also where Rajasthan begins. Of course, we have to be careful not to think the transcendental realm Vraja belongs to some mundane state or province. Of the 10 offenses to the holy name Dham, holy Dham, that we recite daily on Parikrama is the 6th offense. It should not consider the Dham as the mundane part of mundane world. We stop in a field from we stop at the field. As we arrived in Dik, we are welcomed by young Vaishnava who called out us, "You have arrived in Dik. Welcome to Dik. This place is a stepping stone for us to Badrinath." So next is the Dik to Badrinath. So thank you very much. We'll stop here. We have finished our 9 days parikrama so far.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you for all the effort.
Thank you, Mataji, for patiently listening, and please forgive me if I have made any mistake.
थैंक यू सावगोरी गोवर्धन धाम की जय श्रीराम कुंड बराधा कुंड की जय
की जय वृंदावन धाम की जय
थैंक यू सो मच